It's me, Dan, from Harmontown. You can hear episodes of our show and 30 others before anyone else on TuneIn First Play. The TuneIn app is a free mobile audio app available across iOS, Android, and Windows. Podcast superfans get even more from their favorite shows. For 4 weeks, new episodes of Harmontown will be available a full 24 hours early, exclusively on TuneIn. Podcasts will release their new episodes early, including feral audio shows like Drinky Fun Time, Dome People Town, and Now. TuneIn is also full of content like live sports, news, music, and audiobooks. Get the next episode of Harmontown right now at the TuneIn app at tunein.com/Harmontown.
Hello, welcome to Twisting the Wind, the podcast of the name I just said. Thank you for visiting. Now we're going to hear a little bit of music and then everything is going to get started, okay? Does that work out for you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you mention when you were there? Why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't you just say something? Why didn't you just say something? Look, we could have left. I didn't know. Look, I thought they had a bathroom there. How am I supposed to know? I thought they had a bathroom. Well, most places like that have bathrooms. I'm sorry. They don't have a door on the stall? They don't have a door on the stall? Oh, that sucks. You should have a door on the stall. If you have a stall, there should be a door on it, right? Shouldn't there be? Give me a break. Yeah, give me that break. There it is. That's the way to sound. That's the perfect way to sound. Hey, friends, welcome to Twisting the Wind, the podcast here on soundworksnetwork.net/you got it, okay? It's that we're actually on Feral Audio. You know that. FeralAudio.com for all your audio needs, podcast needs, all your needs, all your sweater steeds, all your big butt cheese, all those big old breeds. Okay, you got it. That's great. Okay, I don't want to be like that anymore. I sound like robot Judy Garland, right? Don't you think I have a voice like Judy Garland? A lot of people say that. I got stopped in the street the other day. Someone was like, "You sound just like Judy Garland." That's what she said. Because I was humming. And she goes, "You sound just like Judy Garland. My grandmother was actually good friends with her. And they would spend a lot of time together. And I heard her voice. I heard her voice on a cell phone once before she died. And it was like, made me cry because my friend is so close to me. And you sound just like Judy Garland. So," and then that was it. And I kept walking. So did she. You know, it's downtown on the sidewalk. You know, when you're downtown in a city and it's like, yeah, downtown is so great. Remember that? Remember those days when you were a youngster and downtown was a fucking amazing thing? Like, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that. Oh, there's a place to get coffee. There's a place to get coffee too. What's that guy doing? I don't know what that is. I'm too young. Oh, he's parking a fucking car. What's that guy doing? Oh, he hates himself. Yep, downtown. Oh, little city, little country boy here went to the city and got amazed. Still enamored with it. And all those buildings. Tell you what, you put a hot tub on top of a building? Shit, I'll go in that hot tub. I might even pay to go in that hot tub. I used to live in a building, 8-story building. Maybe 9 stories if you count it correctly. Had a hot tub on the roof. Guess what? Shit was awesome. I mean, it really was. That's the thing about hot tubs is people forget about how great hot tubs are. And, you know, hot tubs have kind of been changed into be this thing of like, yeah, you know, it's like a, well, it used to be sort of like a vestige of the 80s, right? Like stockbrokers and shit. I don't know. I don't really know the history of hot tubs. Maybe I should get a hot tub expert on this thing. But all things being said about hot tubs, I'll say this. They're real. And when you get in one, you're like, why don't I get in one of these every single day? Really. Or maybe at least every other day. You know, it's the kind of thing where I don't know if you're like me. You might not be because I don't know you, because you could be anyone. And right now, it actually is just me. I'm presupposing that someone is listening to this at a later date after I've recorded it, which I'm doing right now. I'm recording it. But if you're like me, you like a good pleasure delay, you know? You don't want to get that good too good. Like, if I'm hungover, I'm going to stay hungover all day. I'm going to, like, make it hurt. Make it hurt bad. Wait to save that hair of the dog till about 6 p.m. You know what I mean? You ever did that? Because the hair of the dog does work. It does work. It doesn't have to be exactly the hair of the dog that bit you. It has to just be some hair of a dog. And my God. Yeah, it's better when you wait. I think it is. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just crooked. I think I'm crooked. But all I'm saying is this. All I'm saying is this, okay? Check out a hot tub, okay? If you get a chance to, steal an opportunity at a hot tub. People do it all the time. Some of my greatest experiences meeting people who would not otherwise have met were in hot tubs at hotels in cities I didn't live in, and they were locals, and they snuck into that joint to use the hot tub. One time was outside of Park City at a very nice... It's a place, whatever, it's a hotel. It's a hotel that's not as nice as you expect it to be, but it's nice. And so three dudes who were in a jam band smoking some weed in the hot tub, and Britt and I, we talked to them and it was fun. And also recently at the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo, some locals were stealing time in that hot tub as well. It's great. Hot tubs should not be locked down. They're always locked down. Isn't that weird? They're always like, nope, no, you gotta have a guest key card to be in the hot tub. I guess you got it, right? But it's not like they're locked down, like serious lockdown. They're just like, you have to work a little bit to get in the hot tub and you can get in the hot tub. If we work a little bit, you can get in the hot tub and then you can join the hot tub. Look, here's the deal. I'll look the other way, okay? No, seriously, I'll just look there. I was tying my shoe. I didn't know you slept in here. I thought you were guests. I saw those towels. I figured you were guests. So I'm just going to look the other way. Hop in the hot tub, enjoy it. Thank you for listening to Twisting the Wind. Sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to this show. I know I have been sparse lately with my deliveries. That's how it is, okay? Life is a highway, and the highway often has construction because of new monies that have been put into infrastructure development. So that's what's going on right now. But this is a doozy. This is a goddamn doozy. I'm laughing more in this one than anyone else. I can tell you that right now. Some great guests, some great times. If you would like to, please email me. It's twistingthewind@gmail.com. I will read and respond in due time, in due course. If you like the podcast, tell other people. If you have maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds, log into iTunes, rate it, and review it. That does this thing where it's like, It's like adding soap to a big fountain at a corporate institution. It just makes bubbles go everywhere, and it's like everyone's like, "Wow, look at that! Wow, who put bubbles in the fountain? Who did it? Who did it?" I don't mind. I can still get to work, but that's fun. It doesn't hurt it, does it? Does it hurt it? Okay, then it's fine. Yeah, that's what it does. When you rate and review the podcast, it puts bubbles in the fountain. It puts bubbles in my goddamn motherfucking fountain, y'all. Okay. Make a smoothie. Make yourself a smoothie every day if you can. Eat fruit. Eat vegetables.
Thank you.
First, though, I'd like to play you this song. Enjoy. This is a song a friend of mine wrote about America.
What you gonna get down trucks, cause your dad never gonna buy, but your dad don't get it. What you gonna get, mom? I said, what you gonna get, mom? What you gonna get, mom? Down did it. What you gonna fall, send you down, down, down. Hey, running. Hey, running. Never got your boob when you're back down dead air. What you gonna get? Right am. What you gonna get? Cause you're back down dead air. Daddy won't dare. But you say how much you get out. Daddy won't get. What you gonna get? What you get it? What your dad don't get it? Daddy gonna get it. What you run to more? Daddy say how much your town, what your city? Kicking on bus money. Jump. Daddy won't get, but you down, gon' get it. Get it, what you sound, fucking terrorist. Woo! Yeah, I'll settle my tag and die.
Get it in, get it in, get it in, one more time. Downtown Dynamite.
You got your Jacket Dynamite. He's not my final, it's not my first picture.
There we have it, the intro music there. Here on the musical section of Twisting the Wind. Welcome to it. We're going to get right down into it right here and scram it up. Drop down and rip it round, okay? So here it is. Today, on this section, part of what I'm doing, I'm just going to talk about one band, okay? They're called The OCs. They're amazing. They're from San Francisco. They have been other bands before, most notably the Coach Whips and Pink and Brown. At least those were bands fueled by the man named John Dwyer, who is the singer and guitarist for The OCs. Also on the band is Bridget Dawson on vocals and keyboards, Petey Dammit on bass and guitar, Mike Schoun on drums, and Lars Finberg on drums and sometimes guitar. Okay, this band is ridiculously great. I have been waiting to talk about them for a long time because I just feel like they're like a mountain, like this big musical mountain that has emerged in my life kind of recently. And I've been climbing it and climbing it, and I just don't really feel like I have a full grasp of it, and I still don't, never will, and that's just the nature of sound, okay? Sound is elusive. All you can do is listen to it over and over again and just keep letting it drill into your brain like a woodpecker with a really soft beak that actually feels like a jet of warm water that's not being sprayed, more just like a... Okay? Does that make sense? Totally. Of course it does. So that's how I feel about this band. I just don't know. So what am I going to do? Instead of just being an idiot, slack-jawed idiot here, I'm going to play a song and then we'll talk about it. Okay. We'll be right back. They let it out. That was Maria Stax. That's from their second album, The Master's Bedroom is Worth Spending a Night In. And that is from the OCs. Blistering, cut face music. That's what I call it, at least. To me, it sounds like if you took like one of those tennis ball machines and loaded it up with a bunch of frozen tennis ball size balls of black paint and fired it into the jet exhaust of like a 747. And then when you shot the balls, they melted and got changed direction by the jet engine and flew back in your face and ripped your skin off because they're blisteringly hot black paint. But you get covered with the black paint as your skin gets ripped off. So it's like this crazy, it's all that. That's what that sounds like to me. Also sounds like that show Baywatch. You ever see that? Yeah, totally. Actually, not at all. I said that because on YouTube, the only way to hear that song, someone edited a clip together of Pam Anderson's character on Baywatch, and they have This Is the Sound, which is, I don't want to think about why it's good. It just is. Okay, moving on. This next song is from an album called The Hounds of Foggy Notion. And this is the first album I heard of the OCs. This is what got me into them. I got into them because I was traveling. I was in Portland, Maine, a very, very beautiful city. Ooh, it's nice. I wasn't there very long, so maybe it's not nice and I just didn't get to see the not niceness. But as far as I can tell, pretty much top 10 nice places in the U.S. I went to a store called Time Lag Records as I was looking for some specific records on their label. And I met a guy there who's very nice named Nemo. We got to talking about music, and I was seeking out some new music from some bands that are living, because I had this problem where I don't have any music from bands that are alive. I would like to go see, and I'd like to buy an album that just came out, a new album that is actually new. Wouldn't that be nice? So that's what I was saying to this guy. And he was sympathetic, and we exchanged some emails. This is after I left, and I told him that he was asking me what I was into, because I wanted like a blind selection, you know? I love that. I love a good blind selection. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but that's how it works. So I said I was really into a lot of psychedelic noise, and I like a lot of droney folk blues. That's really the extent of what I said. Probably like very few words. And he sent me, among a few other albums, was this album, The Hounds of Foggy Notion from the OCs. And it blew my fucking mind. I just couldn't get over how accurately he diagnosed my ear disease as far as sound prognosis goes with this album. It was so on point, I couldn't believe it. I listened to it over and over and over again every time I was home from traveling in the darkness and semi-darkness and all forms of light and affected by different chemicals and non-affectation, all sorts of things. And it's good in all those different ways. That's how good this fucking shit is. So here it is. This is called Ship, is the name of the track, and it's from the album The Hounds of Foggy Notion. Here you go. Good. I've listened to that song I've probably listened to it for an hour over and over again. It's got that thing. It's got that drone, that lock. It's locked in. It's a butterfly beating its wings. It's a hummingbird. Whatever it is, it's just perfect. It's some sort of perfection there. I believe that entire album was recorded live. That is the album The Hounds of Foggy Notion, the OCs. That song was called Ship. Yeah, the whole thing recorded live. Fucking believable. And that album is much mellower than a lot of their other ones, but I mean, it's got that special sort of restraint. I don't know how to describe it. You know, it's restrained. It's very restrained, and all the tone is perfectly perfect, just perfect, beautiful tone. Ugh. Ugh, I want to kill a kitty. Okay, moving on. Moving on. This is from their latest album, Putrefiers 2. This is the second album they put out this year. They are prolific recording artists. I don't know how they do it. They record tons of albums, and they're all amazing. They put out singles. They put out tour split EPs with people. I don't know what's going on. There's something happening. They're like sharks in water. They're perfect. So this is their second album of this year. It's called Putrefiers 2. I have trouble saying this because it blows my mind that it's true, but I think this may be their best album. They're somehow getting better. They're evolving faster than other humans. Something's happening. They're probably aliens or victims of radiation or something like that. I don't know. But this album is just about as... It's fucking great. It's fucking great, y'all. Get it. This song's called Hang a Picture, and it's from their latest album. Okay. Did you hear that sound? What the hell was that? Was that like some sort of a giant million-ton sea snake that just rocketed out of an underwater tube after sleeping for thousands of years, consuming gold, only to spray a laser out of its third asshole and vaporize the planet and then hyperspace blink onwards to Galaxy 2? Is that what that was? Is that what that sound was? I don't know. It just sounded to me like... Like maybe thousands of sea snakes off the coast of Croatia eating an organ. Maybe that was it. I don't know. All I know is that I guess humans made that sound, and that was hang a picture from the latest The OCs album called Putrefiers 2. Sometimes I just call them The OCs, you know? I don't say The OCs. Have I been saying The OCs? I think I've been doing it wrong. Good God, get a grip. So please listen to this band more. All their albums are just treasure troves of jewels ready to be unlocked with your ear decoders. And also, I should say, and I always forget to mention this, if you're listening to this podcast, which you are, because you're hearing this, the compression that we use so you can hear it, you can have a manageable download size, does stuff to the sound. So what you're hearing is like, you're hearing like 3/4 of what is there. And there's no other way to do it. So if you like the way that sounds even a little bit, holy shit, then you have to buy it because it sounds so much more. There's so much more depth and width and all this stuff going on in these songs that we can't possibly project to you in the format with which we do. So that's life in a nutshell. The OCs, dig deep. Go see them live. They're one of the best live bands I've ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding. They really are. It's like you just made friends. You just made the best friends, and they're just ripping your fucking face off. That and watching Petey Dammit play bass and smoke a cigarette is like, it's inspiring. It's downright inspiring. Thank you for listening. Beep.
How may I help you?
Hi, how you doing? I just got transferred to you. I was talking to someone about just potentially working with y'all on some sort of, you know, import-export type thing.
Uh-huh.
So, maybe you could, like, break it down for me. Is there, like, a specific style or, like, a genre of vegetable or fruit that is the most conducive to what y'all are doing?
Well, we're a distributor. We distribute, we distribute a produce.
Okay.
To restaurants, casinos, hotels.
Got it.
Et cetera.
What do the casinos do with the produce? I'm just curious.
What do they do? They have restaurants. Some of the casinos have restaurants. In
okay. So when you said like restaurants and casinos, you basically mean restaurants and restaurants that are in casinos.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So basically, y'all just distribute to restaurants only.
No. We distribute to hospitals, schools. You know, you name it.
Okay.
As long as if they have a restaurant, yeah, we distribute to restaurants.
What do the hospitals tend to do with the food, with the vegetables?
Sir, I don't know. I couldn't answer those questions. I wouldn't know.
This is just the thing, because I do a very high level of organic farming, and our chain is worldwide. It runs on a mycelium current, and it's something where there's like a respect issue a lot of times with certain farmers we work with, so they want to be able to do end-to-end chain dynamics. Have you heard of this? Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's a new farming technique called end-to-end chain dynamics, where when they plant the seeds, when they acquire the seeds to these hyper-organic vegetables, what they're doing is they're telling and I guess somehow showing these vegetables their endpoint and destination in the chain, and it provides a significant vitamin and mineral boost in their product. Which is why we've begun to make this an exclusive policy of ours. So that's why I ask. I wasn't trying to be difficult. I'm sorry if I was.
No. It's okay. I just wouldn't know how to answer that because I really don't know, how they cook or what they do with their produce.
Got it. Is there now when y'all distribute stuff? Do you brand all the things that go through there?
Everything it's gone in a box with our labels, with our tracking number, with everything. Yes.
Okay, so every fruit has like a barcode on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every single fruit.
Every box that goes out of here has a yes.
And how large are these boxes typically? Is there like a specific size? Because we just have some of these new oranges that have been fused with a Brassica. Brassica influence that.
Well, it all depends. If it's an orange, common oranges boxes are 40 pounds.
40 pounds.
Now,
okay.
But it all depends what the customer wants. If they want a 40 pound, a half a case, or a 5 pound, or per pound, it depends what the customer wants.
Okay, and the customer being the end destination for it, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you don't deal with bushels and pecks and half pecks anymore.
Bushels, I wouldn't know. My buyer would answer this. I wouldn't know. I just know that whatever leaves out of our warehouse, it's leaving on a box with a label, with a tracking number, with a date, and all that. But I don't know if we send it out on. No, it's our box.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about the individual fruits, though? Can those be labeled as well?
Oh, the box is labeled. The fruit goes inside the box.
Right, but I'm wondering if it's possible to, pardon me, I keep choking here. It's so dry. Well, I'm in a very dry place right now. How about yourself? Is it dry where you are?
No.
It's not. That's good.
I'm in a lake.
You're in a lake?
L.A. Los Angeles.
Well, as far as I know, L.A. is pretty dry, isn't it? It's kind of like a semi-desert or no?
No.
Oh, it's not.
Only it's not a desert, no.
It's not. What is it like there? Does it rain a lot?
No, our weather, it's beautiful almost all the time.
Oh, well that, I guess I don't know the definition of a desert. I can tell you the definition of dessert, and that's what I have after dinner. now, back to these fruit here. Oh, sorry, I don't want to take another drink. So is there a way to label them individually?
Well, if it's an orange, the orange has their label of where it's coming from.
Okay.
Where, not coming from, I'm sorry. Yeah, if it's a Sunkiss, it'll say the label has a Sunkiss with the number.
Okay, so
the
that's...
number in the sticker.
Is that our job? Is that our job to individually label them, or is there a way we can upsell that distribution mechanism so it's a part of your chain?
Like, I'm going back again. It would have to be either from a buyer. I couldn't answer this.
Okay. What I'm saying is that if I'm a provider, which I am, I'm a fruit and vegetable farm provider.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way, you said that your boxes are labeled. Is there a way to have the fruit inside there labeled? Can y'all do that?
Labeled with your name and... No, it's if it's labeled, it's because it's coming out from our warehouse and it's going to have our information.
Okay, so I have to do that myself.
Yes.
Because what we're trying to do here is we're trying to find, like I said, endpoint destinations. So we label the specific fruit as to where it's going, like names, information, pictures, all sorts of things. Like it's trying to make it's a very specific idea where, like a single blueberry will have a little sticker on it, and the sticker has a tracking number that when you barcode scan
a
that
single blueberry, one each blueberry.
Yeah,
that's you guys label. Oh,
we do.
I've
but these,
never heard of it.
I know, but these are, like I said, these are very special blueberries. They're grown. They're hydroponically grown. They're grown hydroponically on a mountainside where it creates the vapor pressure is at a different level where. You know how Lance Armstrong or those guys will train at altitude? Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, a lot of times what cyclists and runners, they'll train in the mountains. Have you ever been in the mountains before?
Yeah, I've been to the mountains.
You know how?
You know what, sir? You would have to speak to a buyer when it comes to all these questions.
Right. Well, I just gotta finish explaining this, though, real quick. So you know how when you're up in the mountains, it's hard to breathe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing goes with... What happens is when you go up there and it's hard to breathe, your blood changes the oxygen ability to carry oxygen. So what happens is it holds more oxygen because it's thinner. So when you go down to regular altitude, your blood has a ton of oxygen in it. And this is the same with fruit. So if you think about a blueberry grown at altitude, brought down, it's going to have so much flavor. It's going to have as much flavor as four or five blueberries. So that's why we individually label them, because it's something... I mean, if you've ever tasted one of these before, it will knock your socks off. It's like having a dessert. It is like eating a dessert. It's like eating a cupcake, but it's the size of a thumbnail, you know?
Okay.
If a thumbnail was round, if a thumbnail was... Because thumbnails... I mean, you laugh, but I'm telling you, this we're on to something here, and that's why we're trying to hit the stratosphere with this idea.
No, that's fine. That's good. That's
cool.
Good.
What other information might you be able to provide me with? Just now, I've got you on the line here. Just as far as like maybe some detailed information as far as what we should be setting up.
You guys should be setting up.
Yeah, just to be prepared to deal on a global scale with your distribution network.
Honestly, I wouldn't know what would you want to set up. I can't answer this.
Oh my God!
You want to give a context to where we are? We're in a car.
Yeah.
You don't
care?
People can tell that. They can hear the car.
They can hear. Maybe they just think, oh, what are they in an airplane?
No.
We're on. Depends if they have good headphones.
Why don't
Uh-oh, you can't
illegal,
you have the rights
illegal.
To that song.
I don't care.
You have the rights to that music.
So would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
So, I'm Sam Brown.
Right. Sir, you're driving, your name?
I am Zach Kreger.
Right. Say that again.
Julian Assange.
Okay. Great to have you here, J.A. Yeah.
Don't tell anybody. What's don't up? Tell anybody I'm here. I could get in a lot of trouble.
What's up, Jazz? Yeah. Hey.
I hang out in America always.
Hey, so Julian, question.
Yeah, talk to me.
When you like sort of raped that chick, was it like good?
Like that chick was begging for it.
Why was she begging for it?
She was like, Julian, I love nerds. You're like the coolest nerd. You make Bill Gates look like... I don't know.
Nerds are cool now, aren't they?
Nerds are very cool now.
Yeah.
Make Bill Gates look like John McAfee.
What's your name up front, sir? To the right? To my right?
Trevor Moore.
Trevor Moore. I'm sitting in the middle here next to a guy, Josh Fadum.
That's me.
That's Josh Fadum.
That's me. We're getting noisy in a car. Drive safely.
Josh, be normal.
Hey, bro. I'm on. This is me. This is my comedy persona. We're in a car with a bunch of comedians broadcasting to the world. The world.
Let's talk about
how before you turn the mic on, Josh is being himself and he's saying how he didn't want to be himself on the podcast.
What was that, Zach?
Before the mics were turned on, Josh was being himself and talking about how he didn't want to be himself on the podcast. He only wanted to be his comedy persona. And
but
now that the mics are rolling,
maybe it is me. I'm being myself.
It's not. You're always.
But you're taking everything I say so literally. I mean, you know, it's all just fuzz in the air. You know?
You're fuzz in the air.
Maybe you're saying that Josh. You're saying that real Josh Fadum is a character.
Yeah, he might be, man. Who knows? You know, where it changes every day.
Well, that's what RuPaul says, that we're all in drag.
Yeah,
we're all in drag.
I'm just doing a nice tuck right now.
Your
just
actual
tucking.
Personality is funny. I mean,
I'm tucking my penis. I'm tucking my personality between my legs.
Hey, can you do that song that we sang her at the gas station earlier? The one about the TV show?
This is Major Dad on CBS. We didn't have much about that.
This is Major Dad on CBS.
It's a very funny show.
And if you like it, then you should probably know that Thomas Hayden Church is a fucking dick.
Is he?
It's at 8 p.m. I know.
Thomas Hayden Church wasn't on Major Dad.
He was on Wings.
He just wanted to randomly diss Thomas Hayden Church.
Was on Wings. And he also had Ned and Stace.
Have you heard Thomas Hayden Church podcasts?
No, he hasn't.
It's actually really good.
What's it about?
He's really good in Killer Joe, I watched recently.
It's about, it's mostly about like Minecraft.
Really?
Like, yeah, he's like,
Minecraft. It's called Church Talk.
Church Talk.
I hated Killer Joe. I thought that was a terrible
movie. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought the movie was so good.
I thought it was great.
I think that,
I thought it was like funny and dark.
Hey, what did you think about that movie, the one with Brad Pitt, Killing Them Softly?
I didn't like it that much.
Why not? Why did you not like it?
I liked things about it, but I didn't. Overall,
it was a lot of style over substance.
Yeah, that's it. That's the right.
But it was still really.
It was
like,
kind of film school.
All the way through, I was engaged. I was like into it.
Brad Pitt's just so 2008.
Yeah,
it's like
that's when it takes place.
Yeah, see you later, Brad Pitt. So, it's Channing Tatum territory now.
Did you like the message?
Tatum time.
That's a great podcast,
a lot of, like,
too. Tatum time?
Stuff
Tatum time.
I thought about killing
him
softly.
Yeah.
Like the Australian
Tatum
guy.
Tatum time.
Yeah. The Australian guy was like, he was like,
also about Minecraft.
I'm gross. I'm so gross. I'm going to do heroin and I'm sweaty and got boils on my cheeks.
Who are you talking about?
You always about
Australian. That Australian guy.
Sam Worthington?
No.
I think he was good.
Ben something. Ben Mendelsohn.
But you always hate stuff where it's like, I don't think that's people. You do a lot of times. You seem like you hate stuff that's
Australian.
To you, it seems obvious, right?
What?
Like you're saying, he's gross. Like he's obviously.
Yeah, it's
gross.
Like we get he's gross. You don't have to hammer it through our heads.
I didn't think there was any hammering of that at all.
I thought it hammered. I mean, that's not my reason for not liking the movie. I didn't hate the movie. I just was like, I was also into it throughout, but. There were just a lot of things I was like, eh.
I have a question. Have they made a good movie this year?
Paranorman.
Paranorman was great.
No.
I agree.
I haven't seen a lot of the movies that came out
Paranorman
this year.
Looked great. Yeah,
today's Oscar day.
I liked The Master. I thought that was good.
Oh.
I haven't seen it
You didn't
yet.
Like it?
Oh, yeah. I thought the acting was amazing in it. But I thought it was a mess.
I liked it.
Speaking of Brad Pitt earlier, I just saw the trailer for something that looks amazing, which is there's a movie coming out called Not Another Celebrity Movie.
Yep.
That's not made by the guys that do
the
Friedberg Seltzer, the classic.
The classic Not Another Movie?
Not a Friedberg Seltzer masterpiece.
Yeah, it's not one of those joints. And what it is celebrity impersonators, but they're playing the celebrities, like Brad Pitt. It's like a Charlie Sheen getting together a team of celebrities, like an Ocean 11 style team, to kidnap Justin Bieber.
It looks incredible. If you should.
Is it a Frank Caliendo movie?
No.
Ooh, Caliendo.
It's like, it's very budget.
My good friend Fred, his dad, that was his favorite show, Frank TV. I think he's probably the only person he's the one guy who that was his favorite show.
It's a big world. Somebody out there has a Frank TV tattoo.
Frank
I'm sure.
TV. Ooh, Frank TV.
I was on Frank TV.
You were?
I was in a couple sketches on Frank TV.
Who did you play?
I played a writer of the show Lost. Who walked into an episode of the show Lost because the characters couldn't figure out what was happening.
How did you get on that show?
I auditioned for the show.
Be a cast
and
member?
Yes, and it was like a cattle call audition, and everyone was like, this is taking so long. And like they were keeping like all these comic actors waiting for like 2 hours, and I was just getting mad because other people were getting mad. I wasn't really mad, but I was like, oh, I'm mad then too for real. So I was like, I'm gonna just like say fuck this audition when I go. I'm just gonna go and do like the stupidest stuff in the room. And I decided this is my impression of Benji the dog if he'd never gotten to go on adventures and he was just locked up in a front yard. And so I went in there, I just like stood on a chair and just barked for like a minute straight. And I just kept barking.
Is that what the...
And they liked it so much that they were like, you got anything else? And
what else you got?
And then I was like, oh, well, I can do this and I can do that. And then they just started calling me in to do like one little bit sketches on there. And I also played a DJ at a party who Robert De Niro, played by Frank Caliendo, punched in the face.
Oh.
And that never aired.
Mm. De Niro didn't approve it?
I guess they needed to submit it for De Niro's approval. And he was like, I don't like it.
And I was like, I don't know about that.
I didn't like that DJ. I wouldn't have done it like that.
I hear he's a dick.
Do you think if we got in a car accident and all died, someone would post this?
It would. This would beat Marin's ratings if it did that. We'd finally get it out there. What the fuck?
It would just be like fast forwarding to where. When are they going to die? They're not talking about anything.
Put like that.
We're going to beat Marin on this one. If we all die, we'll beat Marin.
Zach, you know you got to do.
We got to beat Marin.
Scream and crash the car?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Okay. You're not going to like it.
Let's talk about bitches you fucked. Let's talk about the good ones.
Yo, how about Judy and Cynthia and Charlotte and Mosho?
What was that song?
What song?
Where the guy just named girls.
A little bit of Angela in my
life. Mambo number five.
A little bit of Shuby in my dudes.
Is that what it is?
A little bit of Tina and a pee. A little bit of poopy in the pee.
I didn't know that's what that was about.
Mambo number two.
So, Zach, you were telling me earlier about an experience you had with a Playboy Playmate.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay. I thought you said you would.
Not on the podcast.
Okay. I thought you said you would.
Nope.
Well, you meant in the car, like, just in general. That's what you meant. Not like, sorry. This can be edited.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
This is great. Just go around and try to find stuff that people don't want to talk
That's
about.
That's a good idea.
We already talked about Josh.
Hey, Trevor, I understand that you and Zach had a disagreement at some point in time during being friends.
That's not a secret.
Okay. That's not a very good one.
That's not juicy enough, honey.
Josh, I understand you dated a girl who is controversial.
I don't want to talk about that. I don't think I want to talk about that.
Sam, I understand that... I don't know what to ask you that you don't want to talk about.
Sam, what don't you want to talk about? Sam's friend of
control. No comment.
Sam, I understood that there was a point.
Sam, I'd like to talk about his phone number.
Yeah.
I understood that there was a phone number
actually,
you had.
Do edit that out.
Do edit what out?
No comment?
Edit what out? Nothing's been said.
Exactly.
Oh, that part?
Edit that you don't like talking about your phone number?
Do you want me to put your phone number in there?
Yeah, because what you're joking around about, she's on.
323-604-9178.
Wow, all right, check Sam off the list. Got him.
323-604-9178.
Whose number is that?
I don't know. It's
Sam's.
It's
got to be somebody's.
It's got to be someone's number. And they'll probably get called twice by the one guy on Twitter who really likes the podcast.
Can I read your number out?
Hey, man. Great episode.
Yeah, I called Sam. It wasn't him. It was some Armenian guy.
This is Major Dan on CBS. A really funny show.
No, that would be a great podcast. It's just whose numbers you got, and just go through and try to find like the coolest phone numbers you have.
I think I got some good numbers.
Well, that's a good combination.
I have Monica Lewinsky.
No, oh, you don't.
Yeah,
I do.
I used to trade.
She called me, dude.
Why do you have her? Wait.
Trevor stole it from someone.
From Lorne Michaels.
And he wouldn't let me.
Trevor, you stole the number.
He wouldn't let me have the number, but he would let me call from his phone. So I called her and I left a voicemail. I was like, "Hey, it's Brad. Looking forward to getting dinner later." And I left my number.
Right.
And like 10 minutes later, she called me and was like, "Hey, just want to let you know, like, I think you got the wrong number. I don't want you to think you got stood up or anything."
Oh, what a nice girl.
Really nice. Really sweet. She's famous for being really, really nice.
How did you get her number, though?
I stole it from Lorne Michaels. Well,
why did Lorne Michaels have it?
I was, because she's like a celebrity.
But still, she doesn't seem like the kind of person who'd be a...
We're trying to get Monica to do a cameo on the show.
Yeah.
We want Monica. Hey, Monica.
How did you steal his numbers? Was it like, did you go onto his computer?
No, it was just Monica, on his desk.
My Rolodex
on
his,
like a physical
desk.
Rolodex?
So,
no, just numbers.
They
have like on paper. Yeah.
Calls.
I think it's weird that he had a big list of numbers on paper on his desk.
So, did you ever call her back and set up a date?
Were you, like, in the office alone, like, putting it in your phone? Was it, like, sneaky?
No, I just saw it. I wasn't sneaky at all. I just saw it, and I was like, oh, it's Monica Lewinsky's number, and I wrote it down.
From Monica Lewinsky, they've been like, man, this is going to be what started all the fuss. This is
what's really good.
We're going to see what the president was talking about.
How come we didn't date her, Zach?
What?
Do you think you could have dated Monica Lewinsky if you wanted to?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, for one, I was in L.A. at the time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I would go from, oh, I'm a stranger who just left you a voicemail on the wrong number, to like, hey, let's you and I meet up in person.
You could swoon her.
You still got her number.
I used to call Christina Ricci all the time.
She probably didn't save her in her phone as Brad.
What?
I used to call Christina Ricci all the time.
Did?
Yeah.
How?
I'd just call her, and then I'd, just pretend like, oh, I have the wrong number.
How'd you get her number? Same thing?
Same thing.
How many numbers did you get?
He also got Don Knotts' number.
I used to call Don Knotts every New Year's Eve.
He's dead now, right?
I know, and then I'd call him every New Year's Eve at midnight.
Oh, God.
And be like, Happy New Year's, Don Knotts. Because he'd answer. He'd be like, hello? And then like I'd be like, Happy New Year's, Don Knotts. Just hang up the phone. And then he died, and I went to call him that New Year's, and I realized like, oh, he died. And it really hit home. It became real.
Like, it was really like, sad. Wow. Jeez. She's Louise.
The Andy Griffith Show.
Well, no, I'm seeing if I got any good numbers here.
I used to have Buzz Aldrin's.
Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah.
Let's see what I got.
And I used to have Mick Jagger's cell phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Same thing?
Yeah.
God, you're a thief.
I'm a phone thief.
Oh, I have Jack Nicholson's.
Buzz Aldrin's.
That's right. Really?
Is that from you?
Yep.
Buzz Aldrin's we legitimately used.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah.
When we were making a sketch.
That's not how I got Buzz Aldrin's, though.
I got
Buzz Aldrin because I traded somebody, a Monica Lewinsky, for Buzz Aldrin.
I think we should call Monica Lewinsky.
We should call her.
We could do it right now.
You want to do it?
I'll take my caller ID off.
Okay.
Just listen to her voicemail. I don't want her to, like, have my number.
You can say, hey... You should
it's
say, hey,
it's up. Maybe that's not cool to do.
It seems really
not
nice.
Cool.
Let's not do that. That's mean.
But
is it
not,
mean?
Not, it's not
it's
mean.
Like,
it's not mean
it
unless
out there
you're
in
being
the world,
mean.
It would be one thing if it was just the five of us, but you're recording it, and it's like we're going to broadcast it. I would hate
I
it.
I think that actually makes it illegal.
It does, technically,
if you say,
yes.
Would you mind? We're recording this right now at the top of the conversation.
No, I don't want to do that.
That does, but what you can do is we could edit this part out right now, and we can... It's Monica Lewinsky, but it's... We don't say it's actually Monica Lewinsky.
You know, technically, if we say that we're driving through the state of Nevada at the moment,
that's
it's
true.
Legal. Because you can do any sort of prank call, phone calls from Nevada.
One-party consent. State.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So we should edit this part out where we call up Monica Lewinsky and be like, hey, I got your number from a friend. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, we have this podcast that we do from our car.
Right.
And I was wondering if you would like to record a segment.
It's true. She would probably be down for that.
She's probably looking for publicity.
No, she's probably a sweetheart.
No, she probably does not like...
What do you think she does now?
She probably is just a normal person, like selling shoes or something.
Selling shoes? Yeah.
You think
isn't that what she tried to do?
Game?
No, she was doing purses.
She's got to be
sold purses.
Game.
Yeah.
She's got to work for a big nonprofit, DC think tank. probably like, you know.
She was a good girl who got a bad rap.
She's a good girl with big brown titties. She's a good girl sucking on that D. She's a good girl with big Jewish titties. She's a good girl sucking that presidential D. And now he's...
You're right up to the chorus. Right up to the chorus.
And now she's free balling. That's bad. That's a bad joke. Free balling. That's like a weird... It's not even Weird Al worthy.
It's really weird how that whole thing went down. That everybody, like, you know... She's like 19, right?
No, I don't know. She was like 22.
Okay, still. 22.
Yeah.
And now that's...
The president...
When I was in high school, I was like 25, 26, that's how old.
The president of the United States makes a pass at you. 22-year-old girl goes for it, of course.
Yeah.
And then, like, everyone, like, you know, kind of makes her a harlot.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's such a fucking weird, like, that's a weird thing that we did about 15 years ago.
That's
like,
happened throughout history, though. Women are always treated as though, like, women are called sluts, and men are called, like, you know, oh, he's a dog. He's a pussy hound. Yeah, he likes that.
Oh, that guy likes it.
Yeah, oh, he's got a wandering eye. Oh, she's a fucking slut.
Yeah.
That fucking
slut. Oh, God, that slut. She did that.
She did it. She did
Your
sex.
Honor, she's a slut.
Your Honor.
Case
Your Honor.
Dismissed.
Your Honor.
I rest my case.
Your Honor, I'm not a bullshitter here, all right? I think we all know what's going on here. Is we've got a slut on our hands. We got a 1,000% DC slut doing power moves on the ladder, trying to climb up to get those titties sucked. And
objection.
That's what we have here.
Objection.
No, objection. No, do not object. We have a classic 1,000. Do not object. Classic 1,000% DC power slut working her way.
Objection.
Into,
overruled.
No, okay,
overruled.
I guess you're right.
Overruled. Look, okay. If you want to blow...
Overruled, I believe him.
Okay.
She does sound like a slut.
Your Honor, if you want to blow smoke on my ass, can we do it off hours? Because right now, I'm here to cut through the bullshit, and I want to say right now that this was a classic slut. This was a true slut. Bill Clinton is powerless to a slut of this magnitude. A slut of this nature, of this neighborhood of slut, is unrevocable in a political arena, sir. This is a drip. This is a classic big titty drip who's out to get some special interest campaign finance refi donations back to her big wig pork spender big wig daddy. Because pork belly, we gotta cut the fat, we gotta cut the pork. And we got this porker, big old titties Lewinsky.
Slut to the bone.
Slutting down to the bone.
And this is all Clinton's lawyer.
This is Clinton's lawyer. Clinton's lawyer on the stand. My client is innocent. He was victimized by this demon of a slut. Sir, Exhibit B, these titties. She's wearing a $2,000 bra. You cannot say no to those titties. That decolletage is outstanding. This is a professional DC sniper slut. She doesn't even like sex. She just this is a classic DC sniper slut. Out to take down the power brokers and suck them off until she can create a swimming pool of power jizz.
Exhibit 2.
If you want a lawyer.
The Jennifer Aniston Rachel haircut. I mean, what man can resist it right now?
This is 1999.
Yeah. If you wanted a lawyer who'd just say, yeah, that's a pretty girl, you wouldn't get me. I tell it how it is.
Look, okay, officer, judge, I'm going to tell you how it is. Look, okay, here's the deal. He's doing a good job as president. I'm not going to bullshit you on that. He did a good job. But then you get this fucking harpy swooning down in here with those big titties flopping around and a beret, he's gonna spray.
She was born in 1973, so that means she was probably about 27. Like
27,
that.
We all know that is the wildest age, sir. That is the wildest age. That is a wild
it's
card age.
The sluttiest age, Your Honor.
Sir, let me
exhibit... She's experimenting, she doesn't know what she wants in life.
Sir, Exhibit D, the following people died at age 27. Kurt Cobain, the Big Bopper. The actor Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe.
Okay, that is nice.
Marilyn Monroe. Another such wild card celebrities. Is it a coincidence that also Amy Winehouse died at this age? No, because this is the wildest age, and this is the age in which Monica Lewinsky was when she offered up her mega DC power slut body to our president, and he was powerless, sir. powerless to resist this wicked temptation of hyper lobbyist slut.
I don't suggest you put yourself in this situation, but I would like to see what would happen if we put you and Miss Monica in the room alone together.
You would be sucked off so deep and heavy, so immediately.
And the voice goes, it's like, you are watching the C-SPAN Bill Clinton impeachment hearings on C-SPAN. The prosecution has rested. The defense is now taking the case. We continue back to the defense's case.
Your Honor, I exhibit now the shoe of Amy Winehouse, who died at 27 due to wild rock and roll party sex lifestyle, of which was no coincidence the same age of Monica Lewinsky at the time of her presidential cock slut sucking. This is not a coincidence, sir. The age of 27 is a magical age. The King Win sequence dictates, as a mathematical principle, that the number of age 27-year-old girl is completely irresistible to any man over 40, as it is mathematically sound hyper slut. Slut, 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 slut. Slut, slut, slutty, slut.
Dripping pussy. Should call her. We should just call her. Now that we've given her such a, like, intro.
Yeah, yeah.
She could be a part of the skit. Yeah.
She might be like, she might like the bit.
Remember that thing?
Monica, want to be on our podcast? It's kind of like a trial.
It's kind of a retread of a lot of humor that was going on in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Remember that really dark period of your life?
Remember that thing where you had to take antidepressants just to go, just to talk to people?
You moved out of the country?
Yeah. Remember that thing?
Like his Hummer broke down.
Oh, shit. Lucky's got those almonds to eat. Note to listeners, we're surrounded by almonds. It's like, if we were trying to get away from almonds, we would be so dead.
This was the happening, and
this is
it was just almonds.
The almonds are angry.
This is almond country.
This is almond country. This is Steinbeck almond country.
This is Almond Joysville.
Taking a break.
Right next to Moundsville.
We're going to take a stop down for a break.
It's Candy Joe.
Should we stop down for a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the, what hour are we on? We're on hour
by
four.
Dervis. By Dervis.
What is that?
By Dervis. Me is scared.
What's that?
Josh,
stage fright.
That's a stage fright.
Josh, why are you so nervous?
Because me scared about the performance.
Oh, Josh, you're so cute.
Me scared that the audience not gonna like me.
Oh, why are you scared, Joshy?
Because me nervous.
Oh, Joshy.
Me don't think the audience gonna like me. Me nervous.
So you're gonna stay in the green room all night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Me cute nervous.
Do you want a snack?
Yeah, me snack. Me take and eat a sweet something.
Oh, look at those cows.
What kind of snack do you want?
Me want something sweet. Oh, man, I'm scared those cows are going to tumble onto the freeway.
They probably love it.
Where?
That probably happens all the time.
Yeah, probably. All right, here we go. And jump.
Just imagine
for those listening.
Cow just landing on us and killing us all.
We're driving through these hills right now.
In the grapevine.
The grapevine, yep.
And there were cows on the hills of the side of the highway.
And these are perpendicular cliff walls.
Yeah, on a diagonal slope. Yeah.
Just eating grass. That should be illegal.
I don't understand how they. Yeah.
What, having cows?
Do you think
for
those
cows to do that?
Do you think those
mountain cows know what they're doing?
Those cows have to suck and fuck.
Those cows have to suck and fuck the way up. Listen, cow. If you want to get to the. If you want to get to the field where you can graze, you got to suck and fuck, you know? There's only one way to get there. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck by the ledge of the freeway where you could get hit and smashed. But if you want to go to the next level, you do a quick suck and fuck right now and make a crawl. You could get in the middle of the field.
Okay, I want to get in a Pixar movie. I want to get in a Pixar.
Okay, well, tell you what. I know John Lasseter. And you suck and fuck me. I'll make a call to him, and you can suck and fuck him. If he likes what you do, then we're going to put you right in a Pixar movie, okay?
Okay.
Are you talking to a cow?
Listen, cow. There's a cow character for a new upcoming Pixar movie. I think that could be you.
Well, do you think me, Lena Dunham, could get that part?
I think that if you suck and fuck the right way. Actually, you don't really have to suck and fuck the right way. Just suck and fuck so I know that you will suck and fuck. And I will make one call, and then we will put you in a Pixar movie.
Who will you call?
listen, do you want to be in the new Arthur picture?
Yes.
You're going to have to suck and fuck me. They're doing a remake of Arthur with Russell Brand. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to make a star out of everyone in the picture. If you want to suck and fuck me right now, we'll make one call to Ben Stiller, and Ben Stiller will make a call to Russell Brand, and you will be the new star of the new suck and fuck Arthur movie.
It's called Suck and Fuck?
Well, that's what we call it in our own private room, which is where you are right now. You can't tell anyone about this, but why would you want to? Because we're going to have everyone know that you suck and fuck. And that's no way to be in this business. They're going to stop using you if you know they suck and fuck. But we'll be happy to have you suck and fuck.
But I still have to suck and fuck.
You got to suck and fuck. That's right.
Okay.
But don't think about it for too long. The decision is yours. Take 1 second.
How much
otherwise
time do I get to decide if I want to suck and fuck?
You get about 30 seconds. Okay. Actually less. And then I think I need you to get out of my face. Because there's another appointment coming in and someone else will suck and fuck if you won't.
I want to suck and fuck.
Okay, let's get to the suck and fucking, okay? We're going to spread you. I'm going to bend you. I'm going to put you down. I'm going to bend you over. We're going to do everything that we possibly can think of to you. And then I'll make one call to Ben Stiller. He's going to do the same thing. And then he will suck and fuck you. And suck and fuck your asshole. And he'll suck and fuck your face. And then we're going to get you that part in that movie, okay?
Okay.
That sounds good. This is Welcome to the Business. We're real happy with. Thank you for every talent.
So, am I going to get to the next level of this?
Well, it depends. You know, if I'm in the mood and you suck and fuck me, then I'll call Ben and then we can make this happen.
So how did Ben get to where he is right now?
Well, Ben and Owen, we always came up together. Ben and Owen were buddies growing up. And Ben and Owen used to suck and fuck. But he's like, I can't suck and fuck my way to the next level. But Ben was in the biz, and Ben was very driven, and Ben was very serious about his craft. So he sucked and fucked all the way up to the top. And then he said, Owen, I found the right people for you to suck and fuck. So Owen suck and fuck right. And then Owen and Ben are teamed together, the team players.
Does that mean that Owen didn't have to suck and fuck as many people? Because
no, Owen had to double suck and fuck.
Because he had to make up for all the lost time he wasn't sucking and fucking.
That's right. Well, no, Ben did a little bit of sucking and fucking, but he was very driven, and he sucked and fucked the right people. Owen was sucking and fucking anyone that he could, but then he found the right people to suck. But you know what? I don't know why we're talking about this. You should be sucking and fucking right now.
I guess I'm beating around the bush.
Oh, don't do that.
I thought there was a phone.
Take the call. Let's take the call.
Oh, I gotta take this, honey. You get started. Okay.
We're taking calls now here in the Grapevine Interchange. Jeremy from Pomona. What? You're on. Jeremy from Pomona. You're on.
Yeah, I'm interested in getting into the biz, and I wonder if I could come down and do some suck and fuck.
Jeremy, sorry. Are you cute and talented? Do you look like someone who could make it?
Jeremy, can you put the turn down your radio, please, and put the mic closer to your face, Jeremy.
We lost Jeremy,
everybody. You're on open lines here with Hollywood producer. What was your name again?
No, we don't need to worry about my name.
Okay. Well, Hollywood producer, Mr. the top of the industry here. We've got him here on open lines here on Grapevine KR7C. And we're taking calls. We're taking your calls right now here. We're passing through Lobeck. On the right lane, so if you're in Label Lobeck, hit that 800 number, 1-800-627-PIPE, 1-800-627-PIPE, and we'll put you on the air here with Mr. Hollywood producer, Karen in Temecula. You're on the phone. Karen, you're on.
Hi. I'm an actress, and I live in Temecula, and I was just wondering if I should make the move to L.A.
What do you think about that, Mr. Hollywood producer?
Yeah, honey, you can't do anything in Temecula right now, okay, honey? There's no one that you're going to meet that's going to give you a big break like me or any of the other better producers, okay? I'm better than them, but I'm not going to give you a break from Temecula, honey. You got to come here and be fresh off the boat so we can snatch you up and see what you're all about, see if you got what it takes.
So how soon should I come to L.A.?
My advice to you is to come to L.A. as soon as you can so that we can get you in the office. We can see what you're all about. We'll get you some great headshots. You know, we'll get you in an acting class. We'll see, you know, to get you to memorize those lines. And also you do a little suck and fuck, and then we'll get you to the next level.
Okay, quick question. Karen, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Is that a good age, you think, Mr. Producer?
That is a perfect age. That's a perfect age for you. You're just right, most impressionable, and you're most... talent is most ripe at this age. So if you can get that this night, because you get any older, we're going to have to throw you out. We don't want to have to pitch you out the door, you know?
Okay, thanks so much for calling, Karen. Do you think 19 is a good age for that? Is that the perfect age?
Oh, prime age. Oh, this is prime meat. You know, this is where you find the most eager people. They're so eager, you know, they're so willing to make it.
Okay, we're going to take some more calls here on Grapevine KQR7D6. 1-800-602-PIPE is the number to call. We've got caller Jeremy. He's back. Jeremy, you there?
Yeah, hi, Jeremy. Sorry. Listen, so I'm in Phoenix now, and I've been really perfecting the Jack and Smack, and I'm thinking of coming to L.A. and just doing the Jack and the Smack, which is, you know, I jack them off and while they smack me
okay,
in the face.
Are you familiar with the Jack and Smack?
You know, that's not something that so much works in our business. You know, we are very primarily focused on the suck and fuck. And the suck and fuck could, you know, it could pertain to any part of the body which we choose. So maybe the Jack and Smack is some sort of a regional version of the suck and fuck that we are not aware of. But here it's mostly suck and fuck.
Okay, that's all. I was just curious about that.
So are you considering a move, Jeremy?
Well, I am, but it's like, I'm scared of being, you know, right now I'm kind of a big fish, small pond thing. And I got this Jack and Smack down. Cold
well
and people
well.
Really respond to it, but I'm afraid I'm going to come out there and, you know, my abilities aren't going to be utilized because I'm so good at jacking and getting smacked.
Well, can I ask you this, Jeremy? Are you homosexual?
I'm everything.
Okay, what do you think about that, Mr. Hollywood producer? Is a homosexual, is that going to be an asset for him?
You know, we don't really see through those glasses. You know, we just say, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do it for the job? And that is really what we are. You know, so if Jeremy is willing to go the distance for the job and do what it takes, you know, we can see that he's a team player and he will do what we need him to do, and we see that he's got the talent.
The talent, okay. By talent, what do you mean by talent?
Well, primarily is that, you know, he's got it, which is star power, you know, and star quality. But mostly, you know, in the business, we want to make sure that he can suck and fuck.
Okay, suck
and
fuck.
We want to make sure that we can suck and fuck him.
Okay, that's a big one. Jeremy, what do you think about that, about having it?
Well, I don't know if I mind somebody sucking and fucking me.
But you're also going to have to suck.
But if I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do the jack and the smack.
The jack and the smack, okay.
You know, Jeremy, but, you know, that may be all good and fun, you know, in this small town Phoenix. But when you get over here to, you know, the big business, we're going to have to spread them, you know. We're going to have to put it open, you know. We have to get
I can also do the slurp and derp.
You know, that, you know, well, that's great. You know, that shows you're willing to dig deep, you know. But we're going to have to really dig deep and spread them and open it up and look inside and see what you are. You have to bear everything and show yourself, you know. And if you do it, I make one call to Vince Vaughn and you're a star, you know. You're going to be one of Vince Vaughn's little boys in one of his pictures. And they're going to say, this is Vince Vaughn's new guy.
So is that what he wants to do?
Yeah, Vince is interested in having, you know, the next him. You know, he wants to discover the next him, you know. And so he looks to people like us and say, who's going to be the next me? Who's going to And Vince is very willing to go the distance, you know. So if you will suck and fuck with us, we will put one word into Vince, and Vince will make one call. You get to be in internship too.
Are there any big stars that are into the Jack and Smack?
I'm sure it could be a conversation with Vince. He's a very down-to-earth guy. For me, I'm suck and fuck.
Well, Jeremy, I think that answers your question.
Thank you so much.
Get on out here. Hop on the first bus, and we're going to do it. Here we are. Here we're still passing the Grapevine. I want to give a big shout-out to our sponsors, Wolfgang Puck, Nokia, McDonald's, Famous Footwear, Nike.
The Chinese chinua salad at Wolfgang Puck is to die for.
It is great. It is really great. That is a great salad.
Not the to-go, not the pre-made to-goes. I mean, at Wolfgang's regular restaurant, or his own personal kitchen.
Oh,
you know.
Spago.
Yeah, when he's got his own personal one, the Chinese chinua salads are great.
Yeah. Would you say that that's the perfect storm for a Hollywood producer? Because it satisfies the Chinese nature, but it also is light?
Yeah, it's light. It's not heavy like Chinese food. You don't get the oil, the grease, the MSG. You know, you get to keep natural, you know?
What do you think about Chinese people's role in Hollywood?
Well, you know, we had Lucy Liu, who was doing real well, and she was sucking fuck for a while, but, you know, she wouldn't keep it going, so, you know, we had to kind of cut her loose, and though, you know, now she's on TV.
Who is your favorite person to suck and fuck?
Oh, I mean, there's so many stars out there. I mean, there's so many stars, you know. We loved the Greta Gerwig. We loved the Lena Dunhams. You know, we loved the Lea Michelles. We loved that show Glee.
Yeah, Lea Michelle. What?
Is there anyone that's famous that hasn't sucked and fucked?
Good question.
No.
Okay. Good answer. There you go. That was our technician, Mike Brown. Mike Brown, everybody. Mike, how's it going?
Good. Just checking the levels, riding the pots.
Now, I'll tell you, I am very excited that Bradley has gotten. We were able to purchase him in.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, we were able to purchase him an Academy Award nomination. He can suck and fuck. That boy is talented.
I've heard that he's a gay man.
Well, you know, that's not for me to say. You know, I just know that he's great at sucking and fucking, and I love to suck and fuck him. I love to spread him. I love, you know, I know that I know that a lot of the people, you know, Todd over of Hangover, you know, he really liked to suck and fuck, and you suck and fuck him, you get him in the right position, he puts you in the right place, you know. And also Vince and Owen had a nice turn at him, and you know, they put him a nice little big stepping stone. You know, it's a building block to your career. Everything's a building block to a career. So, you know, maybe Vince, you suck and fuck him, maybe you suck and fuck Owen. They think they're good, they try to help you, you know. Then they put one call into Ben makes a call into Russell Brand, and then they, you know, the next thing you know, you're the star of The Hangover 2, you know? You suck and fuck enough, then you get an Academy Award nomination for being so suck and fucking talented.
On average, how long does someone have to suck and fuck to have someone suck and fuck them?
Good question.
You know, that's more of an actor's question. You know, I'm on the other side of the line, so I don't really... I would say that you probably have to keep doing it. I would say that Bradley is most definitely probably in a position to be poised to be sucked and fucked. You know, it all depends on the outcome of tonight. You know, I know he's got a lot on the line, but I think he's very happy to where he is. You know, I think he's still fucking and sucking this way. You know, he's a very hard worker.
So it usually takes an Oscar to get sucked and fucked.
Yeah, an Oscar or a big box office blowout. You know, like Ben and Owen and Vince, they were all kings. You know, the kings of the box. So... you know, Bradley doesn't have that so much yet because The Hangover were more, you know, what's, you know, The Fat Boy was, it was more his thing, you know.
The Fat Boy means Zach Galifianakis.
Yes. So, but Bradley did the major suck and fuck.
Is there a reason you call him The Fat Boy? I'm just curious.
Well, that's what we think he's so great, you know, he's so funny when he's fat. And we love that he's fat. And, you know, there was that one fellow, Mike Epps. Remember Mike Epps? He had that part. He was so funny. But he had a part we had to just, you know, it just wasn't working.
It was so funny, though. It was really funny.
Yeah, we had to cut his part because he was funny, but we didn't want to make it more about him.
That's what I heard. I heard that they loved it. The word on the set was that they just loved it. I kept seeing signs and memos that says, we love it, we love it, we love this part, really love Mike Epps, he's so funny, but it's not working.
Yeah, it just, you know, it wasn't working. He was black.
And, he's still black.
He was black, and then, you know, and then Zach was fat. So we just had to say, you know, we want fat and not black.
Right, and that's...
Because the audience is going to say, they're going to go in here, well, you know, who do we... I went, and also, you know, we had Ken, and he was, you know, he was Asian, and the penis.
Yeah, the little penis. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. No pun intended, but that little penis was a big deal because you're not going to find a lot of people who have that little penis who really want to show it off in such a way. And that's
Did he show his penis?
He really showed it, yeah.
You know, he showed his little pee-pee, and Zach was fat. There was just no room for black... When we've got fat, who the audience is going, they're going to walk out going, oh my god, fat, and then we've got little pee pee, you know, little Asian pee pee, Chinese pee pee, and the audience go, oh my god, Chinese pee pee, but then we see three, you know, they're going to be confused when they go and black, you know, so we just, I think they just had to cut out.
Yeah, who's funny? You don't know who's funny in that situation. It really throws people off, and it makes them. I tell you what it does. It shuts down the pocketbook.
Yeah, you know, I think that it would have been overkill. Audience would be like, what was that? But I think we had the perfect balance because, you know, we shocked them with fat, and then we show little pee-pee, and people are like, that's funny. And that was enough, you know. Right. Too much. Black would be too much.
And the main guy on the roof, who's in the roof the whole time, that was a real convenient way to make sure he wasn't in the movie very much, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that actor, Justin Bartha, he sucked his fuck real hard into that movie.
It seemed like he didn't, though.
We thought that he was done because he played the little retard in Geely, and we were worried that he was, you know, he was going to keep trying to come back, and he did. And to his credit, it worked. He sucked his fucked his way into that movie, and he's just a constantly working boy.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you here, but I feel like he must have not sucked and fucked that much because he clearly had a very small role in that film, even though he was sort of the reason for the catalyst for the plot.
Well, it's all about building blocks to your career. You know, we made a call and we said, listen, we've got this boy. He's been sucking and fucking for years. You know, we owe him. So we have to find a role for him. You know, he's been doing it so long. He sucked his fucked his way into Geely. And then it was like, whoops, he sucked his fucked his way into this. And then now he's retard and the movie was no good. You know, so
it was panned.
Yeah, it was universally panned.
It's like
a mistake.
It's the new Ishtar, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's, I mean, I'm not sure what Ishtar is. I'm not that old in the
business. Do you think he felt cheated because he sucked and fucked and got such a flop movie?
You know, that's not really for me to say. I'm sure that he didn't mind. You know, I think you suck and fuck enough, it starts to become part of the job, so you're not worried about it.
Is he still sucking and fucking?
Well, I should hope so if he wants to keep working.
Right. How old are you, if I may ask?
How old are
you? Oh, you know, in this business.
29, right?
Yes, I'm 29 years old. I've been at it the whole time.
So hey,
how old were you when you first had someone suck and fucking?
Oh, my God. I started probably at age 21 in the mailroom. I sucked and fucked. And then I sucked and fucked my way up to this position.
So, I want to go back to was his name Jason Bartha? Justin Bartha?
Justin Bartha.
Justin Bartha. So, you say he sucked and fucked a lot, and he got that building block role on The Hangover. What's next for him? I don't know. What's he been up to?
Oh, you know, I know he's on a hot TV show, you know.
It's that show.
You know, I don't do TV, so... what's it called?
The New Normal. Is that doing well?
You know, it's not... I don't know the numbers on that one. You know, but
so you don't know about sucking and fucking for TV, just for film?
You know, yeah, they're two different businesses. You know, you may just have to suck for TV.
I think I've heard that's true.
Tonight, it's the... Oh, look, a deer.
Mike just saw a deer, guys. We have a mobile studio. Mike is our sound engineer, Mike Brown, and he just saw a deer. We're back to regular programming.
Tonight?
Hold on. I just got confirmation that it was a deer. It actually was a deer. Even though Mike tends to see things that aren't deer and thinks they are deer, that it was a deer. We'll go back to what you were saying.
Tonight it's the Academy Awards, and I'm wondering, based off sucking and fucking, who would you give Best Actor to?
Well, you know, because I'm newer to the biz, the best nominee that sucked and fucked was Bradley. Bradley has been sucking and fucking for so long, just like Justin. And, you know, last year, you know, Jonah Hill, he had fucked his way into a money ball. And we were very...
Literally a money ball.
Yeah, he's got a money ball, and we all have a big old money ball now because of him. So, he's king now, so of course he can have anyone suck and fuck if he wants. He doesn't have to suck... He may not have to suck and fuck ever again. He's doing so well.
What about actress? Best
actress. Actresses. Now that Anna Kendrick.
Who's she?
She was nominated to Up in the Air a few years ago. And then so she's been sucking her fucking steadily all the way up.
Directing too.
Yeah, who were the nominees for the ladies this year?
I think Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, right. Now she's a darling little sweetie. She sucked and fucked a little. And because, you know, she's kind of beloved. And she sucked and fucked a little. And then she sucked and fucked a lot after the nomination. So she sucked and fucked her way into the Hunger Games.
Is that because she felt bad for the nomination for her not having sucked and fucked as much as she
thought she
should?
She probably may have won if she sucked and fucked a little more. So then she really started sucking and fucking. And then she got the big roles.
You're listening to live coverage of the 2013... Hold one second.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to live coverage of the 2013 Oscars here on Grapevine Radio, KQRC Devon 6. And we're here with live coverage with the biggest Hollywood producer, unnamed, but that's why he's the biggest. And you're listening to live coverage of the 2013 Oscars. We're in hour four of the Oscars right now. They've just given out the technical awards. We're about to move on to the actual acting and above-the-line awards. It's about to get very exciting. Mike's here. We've got a live simul feed, and everything's going great. We'll be taking calls again soon. And we just want to hear a quick closing comment here before we take a quick break from our Hollywood producer.
Yes. You wanted a closing comment from me?
Just before I break.
Oh, you know, keep going to the movies and spending those dollars.
Thank you.
Oh, that was terrible.
Speaking, how can I help you?
Hey, how's it going? This is the juice place, right?
Yes.
Hey, I was just in there the other day, and really, it was great. I just wanted to like pass that on that what I had was really incredible and like kept me going through like from 5 p.m. till almost midnight, and it was really great. And I got a dollar off coupon from someone, which was really appreciative as well.
Oh, okay.
I had a quick question, though.
Yes.
When I noticed that there are about 15 security cameras in that location.
Uh-huh.
Was someone murdered there?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, I'm just curious because it seems like a lot of security cameras for a place that sells smoothies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Like it's I counted 15, and I just was like a little concerned about maybe the oral. Like if there's some sort of something going on that maybe I would like to know about because I feel like that would be important, you know? Did something happen there in the past?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, so then what exactly are those for?
More for security, I guess, like in case somebody breaks in, I suppose.
Right, but it is a place that sells you guys sell smoothies, you know? You sell juice smoothies and like cookies and... And like that's all you sell is smoothies.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm curious as to like maybe.
Like, does that make you like uncomfortable? Like the amount of cameras?
Yeah, it does. Cause I come in there and I'm just coming in there to get a smoothie, and I'm kind of like thinking about health. And when I think about health, I think about awareness. When I think about awareness, I think about that same sort of thing. So.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm just curious, like, maybe someone got murdered there, maybe several people got murdered or something in that location, so they had to do this retroactive, reactive measures.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
From what I can tell you, like, not that I know of, nothing like that's happened around here.
Okay, so do those, like, all go in at the same time, or was it, like, a process, like, every month you put a new one in? Is it a tryout phase?
Well, I'm not really sure about the system.
Is there a manager I can speak to? Not that you're being very helpful. I appreciate it, but I just wonder if there's someone I can speak to.
We're not really aware of them like that. Like, we don't know their specifics, but, like, right now I'm the one in charge.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I apologize if I can't help anymore, but...
Is there a franchise manager I could speak to about that?
You could probably call... our main managers usually, like, at our other store. I could give you the number if you'd like.
I would really like that.
Yes, okay. Hold on, let me look it up. Do you have a pen and paper with you?
I've got a pen. I have a lot of things, yeah. I've got a computer. I've got a pen and paper. I've got like a knife, but I'm good. So I'm ready to go.
Okay.
All set.
It is...
Uh-huh. 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 Okay.
Yeah, and I apologize if we made you feel unsafe.
I felt safe. I just, you know, it's I have like weird sensations sometimes where I'll be in a place and I can tell it's like a, you know, I feel like
a bad vibe or something.
Yeah, and I can feel like maybe there's like a history of some sort of maybe like a murder happened, or like maybe like a murder rape, or maybe like a suicide, or like a botched robbery that ended in a murder with someone getting raped while that person was being murdered, or I just something things like that, like psychic stains, I call them. When I smell a psychic stain in a place, it's like, whoa. Because as a society, we tend to be reactive and not proactive. And it's the same reason, like, you know, all this stuff with these school shootings have happened. Like, we deal with it after it's happened. We deal with it with a mop and a fence instead of a fence and no mop. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, I understand.
Yeah, and I'm trying to keep everybody safe. Have you seen this show Homeland?
No, I haven't.
It's with Claire Danes, and it's also with Mandy Patinkin. He plays a great character of Saul. But what Claire always says, and they have played... Well, Claire's character is really into jazz. That's just part of her character, and that's something that's part of the show. Because I feel like jazz is, you know, tapped into the spirits, but that's beside the point. Her character always says, I'm trying to make sure we don't get hit again. Well, she's trying to make sure there's not another terrorist attack. And I'm the same way, but sort of on a more local level. And I feel like that what you're doing there is, if what you're doing is proactive to prevent a terrorist attack at the juice store, I think that makes a lot of sense. Because if you have a terrorist, you know... That's where they say terrorists always strike, is where people think they will not ever strike. And honestly, I can't think of a less likely target for a terrorist than a juice store in the east side of Hollywood. So, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm really appreciative of that. And
sorry if I couldn't help any further.
No, you're like super helpful. It's actually overwhelmingly so, and I'm really like stoked on that. And I'm going to give them a call, and I'm going to say, what was your name so I can tell them?
Just tell them.
Okay.
Yeah,
you got it, bro.
Okay.
Keep it up, and make sure you add blueberries to everything.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, great.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much again. Gosh.
The United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.